In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, it's quite a height to speak from here, but it is to watch over everyone, so no one can sleep during the homily, especially our kids, and to keep an eye on the people in the foyer, to invite them to participate properly. Jokes apart, this is the pulpit. It's pulpit is a Latin word which means pulpitum, a kind of platform, staging, to give to the priest the opportunity to speak to everyone and to make everyone hearing the word of God. So the pulpit has a very ancient origin. It came to be a very significant piece in the liturgy during especially the Middle Age. And the reason was, first, for a practical use. And beside this practical reason, there is of course a beautiful doctrinal reason to understand. In the liturgy, normally, everything has always a practical use, a practical reason, beside which there is, and behind it, there is always a beautiful theological meaning. So the practical meaning of the practical reason to have the pulpit was in order to address the assembly, the whole people in the church, and to make them hear the word and the preaching. Also because at that time there were no microphones. So the priest had to project his voice towards the people. And in fact, if you go to Westminster in London, you see a beautiful pulpit right almost in the center of the cathedral. This was in order to speak to everyone in that very big church. But beside this practical reason, the pulpit is the reason of having a pulpit is also doctrinal. This means that we now, from the pulpit, read the gospel, and the gospel is the word of our Lord. It is Jesus speaking to us. And you see the difference. Jesus is teaching us, so we are listening a word which comes from above. And this is the same movement of the Incarnation. The Incarnation is the mystery by which the eternal word came down to our earth to be incarnate in Our Lady's womb and to be our own life, to give us life. This is the reason of the pulpit. From above, the voice, the word, better to say, is preached to come from on high, but down to you in order to be incarnate in your life. So the pulpit is representing, in a sense, the mystery of the incarnation of God. The word is always superior. The word of God comes always from on high, down to reach out to each one of us. And the preaching itself is not a human speech. It's not something that I say to entertain you. No. The preaching is a sacred discourse. And this is very useful in order to remind the priest that I'm speaking to you, but I have to teach you the word of God, the will of God. I'm here in order to say what Jesus is saying in the gospel. And the parishioners, the faithful, in seeing the priest a bit higher than the assembly, they understand that the priest in this moment is not that man that we normally know with all defects and failures. The priest in this moment is representing Christ, preaching. And then at the altar, Christ making the sacrifice of the cross, offering up the sacrifice of the cross. So the pulpit is this beautiful meaning, and as you might already know, St. Mary's used to have a beautiful pulpit. I think until the 50s of the last century. And we are trying also to have this back, because it is a beautiful piece of art, embellishing our beautiful church of St. Mary's. And this is always something but to be considered within the theology of the pulpit and the practicality of this important liturgical instrument. This said, my dear parishioners, I would now like to teach you something about the Holy Gospel that we just heard, a beautiful page of St. Mark's Gospel. There is a blind man whose name is Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, sitting. As soon as he hears Jesus passing by, he starts to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." This man could not see Jesus, but it seems that he knows him. How come? How is it possible? Of course, maybe he might have heard of that Jesus of Nazareth passing, and a Jesus who was a man working out miracles for the people. So he might have been interested in having a personal healing. But if you read the gospel carefully, it is not about this personal interest. He knows Jesus in a way very significant, but in a hidden way. There is something working in him, within himself, on his conscience, on his heart, on his soul. There is a kind of knowledge of Jesus, a preparation, a longing for the truth, for embracing it as soon as it would be possible. That's why when he hears that Jesus is passing by, he starts to shout all the louder. And this shout actually is an act of faith. It is not only saying, "Jesus, please come and heal me." No, it's an act of faith. He says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Son of David means Messiah. You are Jesus, the Son of God, sent to us to redeem us. You, Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on me. You can, because you are the Son of God, forgiving our sins. You see, there is something working in him, a faith already pushing this person to acknowledge Jesus passing by. And in fact, when Jesus of course knows this man, and when Jesus says, "Please, let him come, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you?" The man says, "Master,